I'm grateful this morning, and I want to express some gratefulness to you. I am grateful for our worship team. You know, sometimes, like Linda, you know, they're feeling under the weather. They're not feeling good, you know, but they get out there and they lead us into worship. You know, they make a real sacrifice of praise. So I am grateful for the worship team this morning. I am grateful for Mike and Patty. Mike and Patty do so much for this church. A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, things that you don't even see. But the church runs well because of those two hearts there. And they love you desperately. And we couldn't do this without you. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for all of you. All of you that call Bridge Builders your home, that come to visit us on Sunday mornings and just find God where you're at every time we meet together. I am grateful for your lives. I am grateful for what you teach me about God. The wonderful expressions of your journey with God that you express here, not just here on Sunday mornings, but when we gather together and other things. And then when we do things with other churches, how much you throw yourselves into those events. You know, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for my kids. You know, glad that Isaac get to be with us this Thanksgiving. I'm grateful for my kids that always teach me more about being a man. I'm grateful for them. They are wonderful treasures to me. I'm, of course, grateful for my wife and the wonderful treasure that she is to me. And the joy of my heart. And, you know, God used her to rescue me. And I am always going to be grateful for that. She is. You are my hero. And always will be. And then I am grateful to God for his unspeakable gift to us. I know a lot of us walked into this room today with some heaviness. I felt it almost immediately. And I understand. There's a lot to be heavy about. There's a lot to be worried about. And it's okay. We're human. We experience this. We endure this. But we have a God who came to take that heaviness away from us. Amen. Who said, take my yoke, because it's a lot easier to carry. Jesus is the great prophet, the great Messiah, the great shepherd, the great deliverer of our souls. And he wants us to lift that heaviness from us today. Not just today, but always. But I'm grateful for him this morning because he is here and he's going to speak to us through his word because he loves us so desperately. So let's just pray. Father, thank you for this morning, for being with us, being the great lifter of our sorrows, of our heaviness, the great lifter of all our pain and anguish and doubts and fears, everything that weighs us down. We thank you that you lift it from us, that is your desire. Father, I recognize that we must surrender this to you. And so we do. I proclaim it for my brothers and sisters gathered here that we surrender all this weight to you. And we don't want to carry it anymore. We do want to leave it at the foot of the cross this morning. Thank you for coming and choosing us before the foundation of the universe. You chose us. You knew us. And you devised a plan to deliver us from us. And so we are grateful this morning. We want to express it in every way possible, but we express it right now saying that we, by proclaiming that you are our God and we are your people. And we will bow to nobody else. And we will bow to nothing else. But we bow to you this morning. Our great Father, our great King, our great Messiah, our great Lord. So many things to be thankful for. But we pray that you help us now receive your word. Understand what you're trying to say to us. And obey whatever you command us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to conclude our series on thankfulness and, believe it or not, try to transition to our next sermon series, which will be entitled, Do You See What I See? Seeing Christmas, hopefully through some fresh eyes. And it's going to be great because we're going to have a couple of guest speakers. Mike is going to start us off. But we're going to pick a character from the Bible story of Christmas and try to see if we can find out some more insights of what they experience. And so that maybe, even though most of us has heard this story over and over and over again, we need to see it with fresh eyes this season. And I think God wants us to never take this story for granted. This, the greatest story ever told. So, you know, we're going to have, Jeff Rossman is going to come and speak one of those Sundays. Our own Dana Mara will be taking one of those Sundays, so pray for him. The shaking that you feel in the house today is not an earthquake. But I told him it's good to be scared. Although I'm a very confident person and speaker, this is a scary thing. Because we speak for the Father. And so being scared is okay. But just pray for him as God works on his heart and helps him hear what God wants him to share with us. So, and there'll be a couple of surprises in there as well. But, you know, the Apostle Paul lived kind of a rough life. Yeah. Shipwrecks, beatings. Disowned by friends, people he used to minister with. And he finds himself under house arrest more than once. And in the book of Philippians, we've been studying for a while now, we discovered that he is actually chained to a Roman guard. Handcuffed. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week for 2 years. He is chained, handcuffed to a Roman guard. But God uses this imprisonment, this season of his life, to do a marvelous, powerful work and still spread the gospel. God uses Paul's imprisonment to influence some of the most powerful movers and shakers of the Roman Empire. Every time, every 4 to 6 hours where the guards are shifting and changing to a new set of guards, Paul's looking at the end of a chain, not at a Roman guard, but a human being that needs to know Jesus Christ. Paul comes to understand that it is really the Roman guards that is chained to him. And so he takes opportunity to continue on his mission, which is all of our mission, is to go into all the world, make disciples of all men, teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. Paul never stops his imprisonment from completing his mission. That is extremely powerful. That it does, Paul's house arrest does not stop Paul in his tracks. He can't leave the house. Paul continuously talks about his longing to go to Rome to preach the gospel. He's longing for it. He's burning with desire to do this. But in that yearning, he doesn't stop and say, well, I gotta wait till I get to Rome. If I ever get to Rome, he still preaches the gospel where he's at. And it says that this gospel was heard throughout the emperor's household because of this. This is huge. This is huge. Paul says this. He says, Chains do not have to hold you captive. They can be opportunities for freedom. It just depends on what you choose to believe. So Paul is teaching us that chains, being handcuffed to something, being confined to something, doesn't have to dictate how free we are. The circumstances of being chained, the confinement of situations do not dictate our freedom. The gospel does. And it doesn't keep us, or it doesn't have to keep us from what God has asked us to do. And that's this wonderful story in Philippians telling us this. That, see, Paul was the freest man in chains in the Roman Empire. And one of the most powerful men in chains in the Roman Empire. But there are two huge, powerful questions that lead to more questions that I want to ask you this morning. I don't want you to answer them out loud, but I want you to start to mull on these as we go through this morning. But these are huge questions, powerful questions, and they're actually got several other questions attached to them. So just bear with me. Here's the first question: what are you chained to? What are you chained to that is in fact chained to you? What are you chained to that is in truth, in reality, chained to you that you have an opportunity to influence? What authority is chained to you? And depending on how you see it, does it have control over you or do you have control over it? It's a huge question. What are you chained to that is in fact chained to you? That you have power over and authority over that you just don't recognize yet. The second question is very much attached to it. It says, how can we turn around a difficult position to advance the gospel? Or how do we live as free people in the middle of confinement and still spread the good news? Things that are squeezing us, things that we feel trapped by, that Paul says, remember, Paul had no freedom. For 2 years, he did not step outside of his house. Imagine that you have not left your house in 2 years. The Roman Empire dictated what Paul's life was going to be for the next 2 years. But he still spread the good news. He did not let the chains dictate his mission. He did not let the confinement change his mission. He did not let the Roman guard dictate what he was going to talk about when people came to visit him. The letters that he would write, the influence that he still had, none of that changed him. None of this confinement, the lack of movement. He still stayed on task. Those are huge questions. What are you chained to that is, in fact, chained to you? See, if you look at that differently, you're a lot more freer. And if you look at your situation, the circumstances, be it a great circumstance or being a less than great circumstance, we begin to realize that it's not the circumstance that dictates our contentment. If our contentment is in Him. See, Paul said, I had learned to be content when I had a lot of stuff, when I didn't have any stuff, because my contentment is in Him. It's never been in the stuff. It's never been in the good times. It's never been in the bad times. I didn't let them dictate how content I was in my Lord and Savior. And that's why I'm still the most freest man, even though I'm in prison. Because I'm free to preach the gospel. The gospel was advanced because of this. He's thankful for this. He's thankful for this, for the things that are holding him captive, because he understands that it doesn't really control his contentment. He controls his contentment. It's his choice, what he's going to believe in, who he's going to believe in. Paul's lesson of contentment is crucial to answer these questions. Paul was a prisoner, but he did not think he was a prisoner of Rome. He only thought of himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, he knew. He recognized the authority of Rome. He understood. There was a guard less than 5 feet away from him every day. He understood what authority he was under. But he also knew whose authority he was under. And who really was in control of his life. That at any moment, those chains could, because it happened to him already, the chains could just fall off and he could be free. He understood this. But he was content, even though it wasn't happening this time. Because he was content knowing that he was in the Father's will and doing what the Father wanted him to do, no matter what the circumstance was. He knew he belonged to Christ. To Paul, contentment, again, is that living life knowing and trusting that God is in control, was to live in complete opposition to the attitudes, to the methods, to the beliefs, to the system of the world that we live in.
Amen.
It's in direct opposition to that, because sometimes, and I don't want you to raise your hands, but sometimes I think, I know this happens to me, enough is not enough for me, for my own contentment. Sometimes enough is just not enough for me. When it comes down to money, sometimes I don't feel like I have enough to feel secure. I worry about my future because I don't have a retirement plan. So enough is just not enough yet. Or maybe I don't get enough praise or gratitude expressed towards me for what I do or what how I am or who I am, and so I don't have enough to define my value and my identity. So enough is just not enough for me. I want more than enough. I'm not going to settle for less. My attitude actually says, "Give me more, and then I'll be content." Can I say to you this morning that will never lead to contentment? That spirit will never lead to being content. Never, never, ever. It actually leads to discontentment. But for sons and daughters, contentment is not settling for less. It's actually living for more. For something more than myself. For someone more than myself. See, I'm not settling for less. It says, oh, just give me the meager thing and I'll be happy. No, that's not what contentment is. Paul's not saying that. Paul says, I live for something far greater than my own life. The gospel. It is greater than who I am. He is greater than I am. I'm living for Him. So I'm content in that. It doesn't matter what I have. It doesn't matter what I don't have. I have Him. He is all I need. His grace is sufficient. Remember, we lean into grace. And grace holds us up. His grace is sufficient. Someone go to Philippians chapter 2 and read verses 1 to 8. For me.
Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from His love, and any common sharing in the Spirit, and any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
There is a big secret to contentment in those group of verses. What's the secret? Say it.
Humility.
Say it.
Humility.
Yes. That's the secret. It's a powerful secret to it because, you know, humility does something to a human spirit. Humility does something to the way we move through this world. How we react to situations, to circumstances. See, humility gives us the mind of Christ. So now, because we are approaching that circumstance or that situation, being good or bad, with humility, we experience that with the mind of Christ. See that? Okay? And so therefore, we're content regardless. See, I believe humility keeps us centered on Christ. It keeps us centered on the way Christ thinks, how Christ loved, how Christ moved through this world. See, because he was humble. Paul is saying, Jesus was God. Totally all-powerful God. Created everything. He is God. And yet he did not think himself equal for God. Enough. to not follow God's plan. He humbled himself and became like a slave like us. Became a prisoner like us. Put himself in a vulnerable position like us. He could have came in a much different fashion. But he is born a baby 2,000 years ago. Vulnerable just like you were. Born into one of the most dark and deadly times in our history. One out of four babies died in childbirth. This is the way he chooses to come into this world. To deliver us from sin. To set us free from shackles. Paul's saying, this is our God. This is our Messiah who humbled himself for us. Make my joy complete. That word complete is a picture of a fishing net that's just been hauled in and it's bursting with fish. It's almost got too much fish for the net to hold. So he's saying, my joy is complete. It's like a net bursting with so many fish. It's alive. Its power is dynamic. When you live as one, when you live with thankful hearts and thankful spirits, when you recognize that it is God who humbled himself to make this all possible, my joy is bursting. My joy is full. It's complete. It means my joy is finished off. Sometimes you go to the diner and she says, the waitress comes over, can I finish you off with some more coffee? Your cup is half empty or almost empty. Let me finish you off. And she fills it to the brim. This is the picture here. My joy is just so full. I can't imagine having any more. That is contentment. Paul is expressing how content he is when his church that he loves so much understands who God is, understands the sacrifice that God did, and lives together with one mind, one spirit, one heart. His joy is content. And it's the joy that I think we're supposed to have. Paul says that humility frees us from the powers. Humility frees us from the power of the chains that others put on. Paul did not put those chains on himself. Some Roman guard came in, slapped those handcuffs on him, put a chain on his feet, and said, "You're mine." See, but when I have the mind of Christ and I can live humbly like Him, no one has power over me. No situation, no circumstance has authority over me. Only Christ does. So other people might try to confine me with shackles. My own decisions might even do that. But if I am approach my life with humbleness like Christ did, and which means I surrender to the will of God. That is the ultimate act of humbleness for us, is to submit to the will of the Father like Jesus did. See, humility is powerful. Humility makes you understand how powerful God is and how weak you are. But that's a tremendously freeing if we see it with His eyes. See, if I see it with my eyes and I concentrate on my weakness, then that's how I walk. But see, if I have the mind of Christ and I understand that humility is real strength under control, then I can power through any circumstance that faces me because I'm obeying my Father. Make sense? So Paul is telling us to live as forgiven people. Are you living like a forgiven person this morning? I'm not asking you to raise your hands. But think about it. Think about it. Every one of your sins has been forgiven. Amen. Every one of your sins has been forgiven.
Amen.
Every one of your sins has been forgiven. You are free people.
Amen.
I am a free son of God. I need to live that way.
Amen.
And how do I live that way? Humbly, thankfully, gratefully. Joyfully. Powerfully. Because when we're weak, we are strong. That means I can power through this life. I don't grovel through this life. I don't try to sneak by this life. I live boldly. As a son of, Paul was also the boldest man in prison. And it made other people bold because he was in prison. How crazy is that? I'm going to go preach the gospel more because you know what? Paul's in prison. That's what it was like. That's what he says in Philippians. He says, I'm so glad because my imprisonment, my chaining to this guard has made my brothers and sisters even more bold in spreading the gospel. That's amazing. That's freedom. And that's knowing that they have been forgiven. See, if I know I'm forgiven, I want other people to know that too. We're going to live as thankful people. Oh man. That's why I wanted to express gratefulness to you guys this morning. I want to live more thankful in my life. I have so much to be grateful for. I shouldn't be here this morning. My life should have ended a long time ago if it was according to the enemy's plans. But thankfully, I lived life according to the master's plan. Who delivered me, who rescued me from that abused life. and set me free and made me whole and gave me a family and gave me you and gave me my friends. And man, I'm grateful this morning. See, humility helps me to be thankful. And humility also makes me understand how favored we are. Think about it this morning. God chose you. God, the creator of the universe, chose you personally. Calls you by name personally. And from the beginning of all things, and before that, he knew you'd be sitting here this morning so he could love on you. You are favored people. You are some of God's favorites. We got to live that way. See, if we live like favored people, we live as free people. And I have said this before, free people are the most dangerous people on the planet. Not dangerous to other people, dangerous to the enemy. Because we'll do whatever the Father asks us to do, we'll say whatever the Father asks us to say, and we'll be whoever the Father asks us to be. See, favored people know they're free, and free people will do whatever the Father asks them to do. And then humility helps us live, and this might be the most difficult one, live as one people. It's a challenge to live as one people. Sometimes we get in each other's way, either personality-wise or just life-wise. That's just the truth. That's why I said, Paul said, that's why Paul was expressing his joy, saying, when you do this, when you live as one, man, it makes me so happy. That's the Father's heart. That's the Father's heart when his children live as one. That doesn't mean without conflict. That means in the, even when there is conflict, you work it out because you're family. And God, that places God's heart. And Paul was expressing Abba's heart in this, saying, you know, this makes the Father thrill beyond words that you live as one, that you love each other as one, as best as you can. See, humility helps us do that. See, if I humble myself and I can think about your needs before mine, that is better for you, but it's actually better for me. Because that means I'm obedient. And that frees me. Man, you're still quiet. So we got to do something else. Maybe that'll get you excited. I don't know.
That's what happens when you ponder.
Are we pondering?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So deep and so pondering? Yeah, okay. And you're probably saying, boy, I wish it'd knock him speechless too. But here's what Paul's saying. Summed up. Live like people who have been freed from their chains by the gospel. See, Paul lived those 2 years in chains as if he was not chained. That's pretty remarkable. The influence that he had those 2 years in house arrest are crazy. And we don't only know a part of it. How far the gospel went because of that. Luke 2:10 says this, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Paul knew this story. Paul loved this story. He knew, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation." Right? But Paul knew the story of Jesus' birth. And he knew that that powerful invasion of God's spirit and God's love and God's presence on this planet and how it changed all of our lives. and it brought him joy. He knew the gospel was good news of great joy. And because he knew it was the good news of great joy, even though he was imprisoned and even though he was chained to a Roman guard, he still preached the gospel in every way imaginable. I can't wait to find out the details. But think about that. Think about that. Paul knows this story. He knows the good news is a great joy, and it helps him to be thankful, helps him to be grateful, helps him to be content, and endure the change as if they weren't even there. Paul knew that the real authority that he was under was the authority of Jesus Christ. And he knew the real power of the message of the gospel. And I believe it is the message of the gospel that helped him learn to be content in all things. Because he also knew the story of Jesus dying on the cross. And that's something that we can be content with this morning. Those of us who have bent our knee to Jesus as Messiah and as King. Knowing that the weight of sin is off me. Can you just think about that for a moment? The weight of sin, the price, the death sentence that sin is off you. You do not walk under a death sentence because of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you this morning, that brings a level of contentment to my spirit that humbles me. Thinking that my Father loved me so much that He put this plan into motion for me, for you, for my wonderful wife, for my kids, for you. Think about that. And I think that the level of contentment, the things that we struggle with, the things that we see as having authority over us, that we're confined to. I really believe that God wants us to recognize that other things put those chains on us. But we could choose to remove them this morning. And that our understanding of what contentment really means God wants to redefine for us. Personally, deep. I don't believe for a moment that God wants you to leave here this morning less free. He wants you to leave this morning more free. Do you want more freedom? I mean, do you desire this? We sang this song today, the one thing I desire. That's freedom. It's Him. It's Jesus. I know there, I can give you a list and I won't, but I could give you a list of things I want to be free of this morning. There's a list that I'm sure we all have. Make your desire for freedom, transfer that desire to Him, and you will be free.